right, it's good to see everyone out. As we continue to try to do this, we continue to seem to add a little something here and a little something there, trying to do our best to continue to worship our God and make the best out of the situation that is at hand. So it's good to see everybody out here again, trying to see through the windows to see who's all there. But it's always wonderful to be able to gather together to come and worship God. And of course, if you're unable to join us and you are at home watching on Facebook, we're glad that you're able to watch that also. So we're always happy to be able to present God's word and help shine the light as we can. What I want to talk about this morning goes along with that point into asking the question of why we keep going on. Why do you keep on trying? And give me a second. There we go. I had the slide starting in the middle of the lesson. So why we keep going? That's a question I wanted to ask this morning as we kept come together and we keep on trying to do our best to come together. Many might sit back and bring out the point that there's not a reason to, that God would understand the situation and they would choose to just simply just let it be until times change, until we can get by this. And so that question of why keep on going, even in after this, when we are able to come back together, and many can get caught up in saying, well, obviously this might be a sign that God is no longer there. They might bring out the sign that God is not with us because of these things. And they ask the question of why. Why do you keep on putting on a smile? Why do you keep on living faithful to your God? And so I just wanted to bring out a few points this morning and trying to answer those questions. And first thing I want to look at is the points that I've heard be made as we've gone through this, and the points that maybe even we've used ourselves and trying to, as we figure out our first 2 weeks doing it online, the last 3 weeks coming together in the parking lot and making decisions on what is best to do in such a situation. And so the first point I want to look at is that there are tough times that call for tough decisions. That sometimes it's not easy as just saying, well, it's all black and white, and there you go, and you got to make the way straight. And we can even see this in the Word of God, that there were times in which we may make decisions that don't necessarily, you know, go with the original things that we usually do. And, you know, we can all probably think of situations in which before this that we did the same thing. And when you were sick, that you might have stayed home, or you have a kid that is sick, and so you stay home with your kid. Or we've canceled services because the roads are just too hazardous to get out and it's too icy to get out. And so there's times in which we make decisions that make we feel like, well, should we do that? Should we not do that? Because we still need to follow the Word of God. And I'll get to that point later. But there are sometimes the tough decisions that we have to make. And we can even look to the book of Luke, if you will, with me. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 5. Luke chapter 14 and in verse 5 is where we're going to start off this morning. Luke 14 and in verse 5. Here it says, "Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into the pit, will not immediately pull him out of on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. And so Jesus even gives the example here that they weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. They were supposed to prepare everything beforehand and make sure that they didn't travel so far, many distance. And so, but he brings out the point. He brings out a question. Which one of you, if your kid were to get hurt, want to take him to the hospital? Which one of you, when your kid is sick, that you want to stay home instead of bringing them to services? You yourself gets injured. You yourself are unable to come out. And so there are situations. There are situations which we have to make those kind of decisions. Another example that I want to bring out is also in Luke. In Luke chapter 6, if you turn along with me there. In Luke chapter 6, as Jesus with his disciples end up doing stuff on the Sabbath day here also. Luke 6 and verse 1, it says, "Now it happened on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the grain fields. And his disciples plucked the heads of the grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered and said to them, Have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those of him, with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, Jesus makes the point, of course, here that he is the Son of God, that he is changing things, and that he is the one that they should be worshiping. But you also look at the situation at hand, that they've been traveling, that they didn't have the opportunity to prepare things, and so they had to do what they had to do, and they ate. And then he gives the example of even David back in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and 21, as Saul seeks to kill David's life, and David ends up running. And he has a few men that follow him. And as he was unable to prepare for himself because they were in a haste, they were rushing to get out, they stopped at the house of God and took the showbread that was only designated for the priest. And so there are situations in which we have to make harder decisions. Though we want to gather together, we want to come into the building, we want to be able to come and shake hands, we want to hug one another and catch up and see how each other are doing and show how much we care for each other. Well, we've had to improvise to make sure that we continue to put God first in our lives, continue to follow faithfully to the Word of God, but also changing a little bit in how we go about it. And so, once again, that question of why, when we can quit because of the situation, God would, but we also can do more. We have to make sure that we are thinking and asking the questions of what can we do? What can we do in order to continue to put God first and still follow what is being told to do otherwise and still make sure that we are following faithful? Those windows might be rolling up here in a minute. I can see sprinkles coming down, sidewalks getting a little wet. But I'll keep on going if you'll stay. My next point I want to bring out is to be careful. When we're making these decisions, that we don't get caught up in just justifying the easiest thing because we don't want to do something. Because once we get into a situation and we see the okay, we might be given an inch and you try to take a mile. We need to be careful when we make such decisions. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, here it reads and says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, did many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And understand, these people were saying, I did this in God's name. I did this to serve you. Understand, when we make decisions during these hard times, when we try to figure out what we can and cannot do, make sure that we are truly looking to the Word of God as we make these decisions. Because there are people who try to worship God, people who, even as we study the Bible, who claim to be doing things in the name of God, but it wasn't acceptable. So we need to make sure we're careful, that we truly examine the Word of God as we make these decisions. Again, in Revelation, I know you guys can't see it, but I'm trying to do this so that on Facebook they got the PowerPoint with it. So Revelation 22, Revelation chapter 22, and looking at verse 2, Revelation chapter 2, not 22, Revelation chapter 2, and reading here starting in verse 2, says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have done and have become weary. Nevertheless, this I have against you, that you have left your first love. Again, we can get caught up in doing so much good and doing so much that looks right, but then we lose focus on why we're doing it, why we justified it, why we okayed certain things. And then as this may hopefully pass over eventually and time goes by, and we don't get caught up in saying, well, I still, you know, followed along on Facebook. I still followed along there. That once it's over, that we, well, it was okay then, it'll be okay now. That we make sure that we don't justify things just because it's the most convenient thing for us in the world. But we make sure we continue to put God first. That He is our first love, and that we're not serving ourselves, but that we continue to serve God. Next point I want to bring out is because we have to continue to worship God in truth and in spirit. In John chapter 4 and verse 21, John chapter 4 and in verse 21, here's Jesus being questioned on where we are to worship. And His answer here is Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." So we must make sure that we are still doing that. No matter what we're doing, as we come together, that we worship God in spirit and truth. Even when you worship and you go to God in prayer at home, as we practice and make decisions, that we put God first and that we examine His Word to make sure that we are not going against His commands. Because Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that is what we're striving to do here, is to keep His commandments, to continue to fight the good fight, to continue to put God first in our lives as we can. Again, continuing to look to the Bible in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew 6 and verse 33, where it tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As God promises to make sure that you will be taken care of, that you have the necessities that you need in the life that you live upon this earth, that you put Him first, though, that you seek out His commandments, that you do His work, that you look to His kingdom, His church, and follow faithfully in His service. And we need to make sure we do that. We make sure that we do not add to the Scriptures, as we're told in Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19, that we make sure we understand that we can find answers in the Word of God. Because as we look to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, there it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. So it has everything that we need in it. It is perfect. It is the perfect law. And so therefore, it does not need to be added to. We do not need to take out away from it. We need to make sure we continue to follow faithfully, even in the trialsome times. And my final point I want to make on why we keep on going is because it's not over till it's over. We are still here on earth, therefore we still need to worship God. We still need to put Him first in our lives, no matter what. We need to still study our Word at home. We still need to pray continuously. We still need to take the Lord's Supper if we can. We still need to obey the Word of God. We need to keep all commandments as we live faithfully to our Lord. We look to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10. As you read here, and it says, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Here telling us that we must remain faithful. Turning to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and in verse 13 it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Again, making sure you make it to the end. That is when it is truly over. Paul makes the point that he has fought the good fight. He had finished the race. He had kept the course. And now, he says, now I will receive the crown of life. You don't get that crown of life until the end. You don't enter into heaven until the end. Until you finish the race. Until you finish the fight. And as long as we are still alive, as long as this world is still here, and it's not that day that God has set aside to destroy all things, then we have to live faithfully to God. Why? Because we want that home in heaven. Because we want to get there. Because we have hope in Christ. Because of the sacrifice He made for us. And we desire to be with Him forever. So I hope that I've encouraged you. I hope that I've helped you look to the Word of God. And that if you desire to obey the gospel, we will take care of that. We will put that above this virus and make sure that you get baptized and wash away your sins. If you need the prayers congregation, again, reach out and we will pray for you. We'll pray and strengthen you, help you in whatever way we can, if you just let it be known. Now Ron's going to lead us in our invitation song.
283. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the angels in gold, sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?